Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news.
Hell yeah!
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Your host, Tomas Mauricio.
I was about to say, we might have to get a re-recording there.
Yeah, I ain't paying the $5.
Is it palatial or fallacial?
Well, you would know. Like, you, I knew you would know the answer to that question that we had a little bit earlier.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another great podcast.
Tell them about the segment, the special segment we're going to have later on in the show.
We were talking about, you know, proper hydration. And so later during the show, we'll talk a little bit about proper hydration.
I'm telling you, it's interesting. It's going to be the most interesting.
For some people, it can be interesting. It depends.
I don't
on...
want the segment to taint anyone's feelings about the podcast.
No, don't want that to happen.
So we'll have to wait till it comes about, and you know,
Heath is an expert on some amazing stuff aside from Saints. And so this segment,
aside
you will not
from
want...
Saints,
no, I mean you're an expert at that too,
except for the Saints.
But what I'm saying is, I guess you're more diversified because it's ridiculous.
Well, for our listeners, we're so glad that you waited an extra week to hear us come back again. And we'll be playing this game of every other week for a little while. While, you know, Dave is still recuperating. I know people ask me, is Dave ever going to come back to being Dave? And I've said, well, probably not. He's
Maybe this was what I was originally.
Is that what
I
you
was
were
somebody
really?
Else earlier.
Oh, is that what I was saying? Well, all right. Well, whatever. Well, we're getting closer to some interesting days. We have the draft coming up. All of the free agents, I guess, that were worth signing have been signed. Whatever that means. And just today... Darius Thomas was signed by the New England Patriots.
That's the singer for Hootie and the Blowfish?
That's right.
All right.
Yeah. That's right. Blowfish, exactly. So,
he don't even
let
know who
it
is.
Cry.
You know who Hootie and the Blowfish
is. Oh, okay. All right, let's make it short. You got, I serve you a softball, man.
The lead singer, Darius Rucker, is
Rucker.
Also
there
a,
you go, yeah.
A country singer.
Yeah.
He's and he new, has a couple of really nice songs, like the Wheel song by Darius Rucker.
Wheel.
He's the new Charlie Pride.
Yes, it is.
It's not his song. He redid it.
He redid it, but yeah. I mean, he got it up in the charts.
What is it? The
just because you think I didn't know.
Oh no!
See?
Okay, I'm impressed.
You lost me at country music.
I did. Huh? Well, the dog ate my shoes. Here's some real country for you.
Well, you sound like a country music song when I asked you how you been doing. So, well, yep. You know, my wife did this and wrecked the car and the new day.
Yeah, that's the way it is. You know? That's right.
All
right. But I still love her.
Yeah, but
I
love her.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we have some things to talk about. We have the draft coming up. We signed a lot of people during free agency to fill needs. So it may leave us in a position where we're just going to pick the best player available. It's possible. But I think we still have needs. And so I asked my fellow compatriots here.
A man has needs.
To try to do a little work. They didn't. But that's okay.
Hold up.
Yeah, blank pieces of paper. However, Tomas has pieces of paper that have names on them. So there you go. All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
I got the laryngitis. I can't talk about it.
Oh, you do? Well, I'm so sorry. Well, So anyway, there are a few things to talk about. Now, we have some Pelican news. We have some LSU Tiger news. I mean, we could go around to some other things as well.
We do. What happened? What's going on with the Pelicans?
Yeah, tell us. Give us some Pelican update.
Mrs.
I feel like I'm getting the news because I don't know nothing that's going on anyway.
Either. Well, Rita Benson decided that she's going to be serious about the Pelicans.
Uh-oh.
And so she decided to hire a real GM for the Pelicans, fellow who's got a very good reputation. He brought the Cleveland Cavaliers to their championship in 2017. Man's name is David Griffin. And so he will now be the GM. He will not be answering to anyone except Rita Benson.
Cool.
So
Wait, what? Rita?
Not Rita, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, what Rita?
Gail Benson. Gail Benson, sorry. Oh. Mrs. Benson. because she said she was very serious and, you know, she wanted the team to be not some offshoot of the Saints.
Yeah.
So therefore, the Saints hierarchy is now removed. And so now his first big decision is not going to be the trade for AD, but rather, do we keep this coach or do we send him bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
I would think probably most people would agree, especially since his losing record is about the worst that there is over the last 9 years or 8 years, how long he's been there.
Yeah.
So there is some news about the Pelicans, and AD may stay depending on how Griffin reorganizes the team.
Oh, man. I mean, I was about to say, I mean, the new GM, but if AD, I mean, you starting from scratch again. I mean, I'm not a big basketball guy.
Yeah, the thing is, though, if you got the right guy, you're going to be able to get an absolute motherload out of Anthony Davis.
Yeah. And the trade might be significant enough to rebuild a team a different way.
I mean, sounding like if Danny Ainge was serious up in Boston, he's about ready to give you basically the entire Celtics team for.
Well, and, you know, that's
fine. They got a pretty good team.
You know, I would think that's going to be a little bit different. So there's your Pelicans news that you're worried about. Now, Will Wade has been reinstated at LSU. Because, of course, LSU has no moral compass. So they're fine with that. Not a problem.
Well, they should have. I mean, you know, if they were going to turn around and reinstate him, they should have just let him coach in a damn tournament.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it made zero sense.
You know, then now all of a sudden they say, okay, you can come back now.
Yeah.
What's the point?
I mean, they're already going to vacate everything if that's the case because of the player still played this year.
Didn't
so
make any difference.
And he played in a tournament.
And they might have had a better shot with a real coach. Rather than a guy who was a little bit, I think, over his head.
Right,
in playing. So there you have the latest in the LSU department. The baseball team's doing pretty good at LSU.
Yeah, as usual.
And there's some, you know, of course, coming up in the draft, we have a couple of LSU players that will probably be, will definitely be in the first round.
Yeah.
And some other ones that will be in some of the lower rounds, but still make a team, I think. So we have a lot of news there from LSU. What else do you want to know about? Anything else, Dave? You need any more information?
No,
or I covered off for you.
What's going on with the Saints?
Yeah.
With the Saints?
I've learned more about sports in the last.
Well, I'm glad you asked. Apparently, our good friend Wesley over there sent us the booted schedule that we got.
Yeah.
The
unconfirmed, leaked, scheduled, right. Rumored schedule.
That's correct. From an unsolicited, unconfirmed source. We have a. I put on my reply there were at least three. Road games, it looked pretty tough. The Rams on the road, the Bears on the road, and I said somebody else. I can't remember who the other one was. There were three
Chicago.
Teams. I said the
Chicago
Bears.
In December.
Yeah, the
Bears, the Rams,
and
there was one more.
Seattle,
Seattle. I was at Seahawks. Yeah.
We got to go pay the hundred and what is it $140 million man or whatever.
Speaking of Seahawks, you know, a lot of people, including myself, I was like, boy, you know, if Seattle can't work out a deal, maybe the Saints could get Wilson. And we could continue moving forward with Wilson. Dude, that contract.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Holy mo 35 mil a year. I mean.
Yeah.
The highest paid quarterback now at this point.
Walked away from the table with a $65 million check.
I mean. God nice. Bless him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God bless him.
You know, okay, so look. Russell Wilson has not been that good over the last couple of years.
Well,
I'm sorry.
That should tell you something about what the state of quarterbacking is.
Well, I mean, it tells me a lot, really. Yeah. Because, I mean, I like Russell Wilson. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he also hasn't had the team around him that he had.
Right.
But but at the same time, you're looking at a guy and say, well, he wasn't able to elevate that team beyond where they went. Is he worth $140 million over 4 years? Like, a guy getting that kind of money ought to just about be able to take a team on his own.
That's what you would think.
You know what I mean? But we've seen Aaron Rodgers he beat out Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers wasn't worth that kind of money the way he's played.
Well,
in the last...
remember, even going further back, Matty Ice got $25 million.
Yeah, he started it.
Four-year, $100 million contract. Matty Ice, and no, I don't care who you put around him. Sorry, he's a nice guy. He's a nice quarterback, but he's not an elite.
Yeah. It's like every time one of these deals happens, you can't help but look and say, wow, you know, Drew Brees has really been a bargain.
It's a bargain, right?
Yeah.
Now what does that say if Drew comes back this next year?
Oh, well, yeah.
And he again, like we've been talking about before, you know, he breaks his own percentage record for completions.
Yeah, I know.
You know, we're in a playoff, and he says, you know what, I'm going to play another couple years.
Big difference between guys that are 30 and a guy that's 41 or whatever he's going to be.
But, I mean, he's not going to sign for 20.
No.
Now, he might not sign for 35, but he's going to be somewhere closer to the 35 than the 20.
Well, unfortunately, because of the moves, we're paying him almost the 35, or you know, against the cap. Anyway, it's what, 30, huh? 30, I think he's going to count, so.
Something like that. So, I mean, I think that, and then we have other contracts coming up. I mean, when you see the contracts that wide receivers have signed, you know Michael Thomas.
Yeah, Michael Thomas is going to become the next richest wide receiver.
I still go back and say that I think that the NFL has to do something about this whole business of the cap. I think they need to pull quarterbacks off of the cap list, and then the cap should just be the money that's left goes to the rest, and then you can control a lot of that. But you're not going to be – it's a quarterback-driven league. You're not going to be able – you know, when they're paying money, the fellow who was at the fellow was at Minnesota and then ended up at Denver –
oh, Case Keenum.
Case Keenum.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has money like there's no tomorrow, and what has he done? You know what I mean? He hasn't really done much of anything. So and there are a number of people like that are out there. Well,
look at the money that the guy in Minnesota replaced him with.
Yeah.
With the money he's gotten, what has he done?
Nothing, you know? And I was going to say, the young man that we had here, who I really liked, as our backup quarterback, for Drew, and he left here, and he went to Chicago,
Daniel.
And they gave him a huge contract.
Yeah.
This guy has Chase Daniels has made more money than any quarterback out. If you really look at it, because all he does is sit in the bench.
Yeah, I think he's beat out Matt Flynn for
absolutely.
Making money and not
absolutely.
Doing anything.
You know, or Cassell or whatever his name was. You know, the other
guy. Castle.
You know, so you know these contracts have gotten so wild. At the quarterback position, it's hard to imagine. But anyway, Wilson got signed at Seattle. I don't know what Seattle thinks that they have around him, you know, at this point.
They're not going to have anything around him paying him that kind of money. There's
you know,
nothing
because
left.
He'll be running for his life if they don't fix that offensive line. And, of course, there's Jimmy Graham over in Green Bay.
Yeah.
He says that he's going to be in shape. And there's no way Green Bay doesn't draft.
He's going to be in
end.
Shape, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, so, good, Jimmy! For all that money, you're finally going to decide to get serious now.
Yes, exactly.
All right,
exactly.
I'm excited.
Serious.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, and then you have the other tight end over at the Patriots said, "I've had enough. I got enough money, so I'm going to gronk out on my own."
Yeah. Well, he was hurt all the time. You know, yeah. I mean, he hell of a player.
But he left at the top, really, if you think about it, because he caught the pass that won the game against the Little Lambs.
Yep.
So. Of course, I presume that they're going to pick one of the top tight ends,
yeah.
Which, of course, I have on the list here, a list of tight ends. We ended up finally signing a tight end.
Yeah. Longest.
Been long rumored and long talked about.
Yeah.
Cook finally signed a nice contract.
Yeah. What, about $8 million a year?
$8
million? Yeah.
And
with the voidable thing
but,
and
right,
blah,
so
blah,
it's
blah,
basically
blah.
A one-year contract.
Yeah.
So that means... Do you gentlemen think that we still need a tight end, or do you think we'll go ahead and use him for the 2 years and then maybe pick up somebody else? Or what are your thoughts on that, Dave?
I just – the Saints don't have a lot of ammunition, and now they've got Cook, I can't see them spending another high pick.
Now, hold on. We got to go through the whole S or not S thing again. Is it Cook or Cooks?
I know, right? Yeah, I get confused.
We got rid of the other one that we never could. Does he have an S or no S? Is he Cook or Cooks?
I don't think he has an S.
Cook, right? Let's go to the to
I Wesley. Think no S. I'll say
no S.
No
S. I don't think any S either. Right. I think it's Cook. Yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't afford the S until he signed this contract. Now you're all getting yourself an S. Yep.
Maybe a couple of them.
But, like, as you know, I think he's a good player. I would like to see in a normal draft, I'd like to see us get a guy that was the future. But I just don't see at this point where they have the resource to say, yeah, let's just get us a few. Because we need help in certain things now, and you're going to need to use that
well,
that
we signed draft pick. We signed a couple of defensive linemen. And, by the way, Davison decided he was going to sign with the Falcons.
Yeah.
You know, he interviewed a couple different teams, but lo and behold, he signed with the
Falcons. Hey, look,
Falcons.
I mean, you know, the guy was – he played well this past year. He was part of the number one rush defense in the league.
Well, he was just a filler. You know, I mean, he took up space in the middle of the line, and so that was his gig.
Yeah.
You know? His job was not to rush the passer. His job was to stand up in the middle of the line and stop everything from happening.
Yeah.
Which he was very good at doing.
Yeah, he did a good job.
But I think the Saints were like, no, you know, we can do better than that. Well, which is why they didn't resign.
Yeah, they did better than that, and they also got a guy who played really well as a rookie last year in Stallworth.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. We have a couple of other people that could still turn around and do something, you know. So Dave is shaking his head.
Just saying, here's the thing you got to ask yourself. You know, Davison, fifth-round draft pick, you know, panned out. You got to give yourself some kudos for a good draft pick, a guy that actually plays, and getting a second contract as a fifth-rounder. But how much better is he than Stallworth? Generally speaking, the Saints are only going to carry one nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And if they look at Stallworth and say, you know, Davidson's a seven and Stallworth is a six with room to improve to a seven, then are you going to pay Davidson all that money?
No, of course not.
No, I said it all during the season. I thought Stallworth played well enough to my eyes,
absolutely.
You know, early on that it
and
was
And I think the
obvious.
Two guys that they sign will play at least the same level as Davidson.
Oh, yeah,
plays.
Yeah. Probably
so,
better.
So I don't think there was a loss at all. I think it was a win in that particular position.
Agreed. I thought Davidson leaving was a foregone conclusion with how well Stallworth played. And again, we're going to carry one nose tackle. We're going to keep the cheapest one because both of them played well.
Yeah.
I do think, agreeing with Dave, I think that the Saints are in for this year for the Super Bowl, and I think they're playing like it's Drew Brees' last year, and they're doing some things to set us up for the future. But they're all in this year. And I think the draft is going to be focused around people who can play this year and help. Obviously, and tight end's a really tough position, especially in our offense, for a rookie to come in and do something. Now, having said that, in the sixth round, if we have some tight end that we thought was a third-round draft pick that fell down there, I think that we're still going to draft the best player available because we pretty much stick to that. One place where I still think something has to happen, and either in free agency or I don't want to – second-round draft pick, but we need a defensive end. I think we still need somebody to come in. These guys that we signed that they're saying can play defensive line or defensive end, I'm not sure how much of a rotational player they're going to be at defensive end, like if we know we have to get after the quarterback.
Yeah. I wonder.
I'd like to see somebody to replace Okafor to come in there.
Yeah.
Or I think Davenport replaces Okafor. Now we need somebody to replace rookie Davenport.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but I heard an interesting interview with Cam Jordan, where they were asking him about the number of sacks he had and the number of sacks that the defensive line didn't have or whatever. And he was talking about how the defensive scheme towards the end of the season wasn't one to sack the quarterback, that it was a different kind of scheme that they were playing. So I'm not certain. I think Davenport makes a big leap forward this year. I still like T-Hex. I still think he has some mileage there. I still think we have some linebackers that can come from that corner as well. So I'm not so, you know, today I thought I'd just talk about offense today because I think we have invested a lot in defense in the last few drafts, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if Sean Payton decides, you know, with our first pick in the second round, pick the best offensive player on the board. And, yes, I know tight end's a tough position to bring in as a rookie. But I'm just thinking better to bring in a rookie now as a tight end who doesn't have to start and can pick up from the guys that are there, and maybe he can be the basis for the next group of offensive players.
Mm.
You know, now I have a long list of offensive linemen because I happen to think that offensive linemen is a real issue on this team. So I have a long list there. I also have a list of running backs because, believe it or not, I think running backs might be an issue at some point as well. I'm not necessarily sold. We got two running backs. I'm not sold on what's behind those two, you know?
Washington.
Yeah, I'm not really sold on Washington, you know? So
a lot of people are not sold on the guy that we signed from Minnesota.
Murray.
I don't know. I think the Saints did their homework. I have to imagine they did, or it could be simply he's the best guy available. But
I think on the Saints team with Drew Brees as quarterback and the Saints offensive line, Murray is going to fill in plenty enough. You know, his difference in – well, I say that, you know, turned out – the difference in what they gave him versus what Ingram was originally asking for. Now, what Ingram was going to wind up playing for in Baltimore
– we would have matched that.
We would have matched it, and he should fire his agent. Yeah, I mean, immediately. But the bottom line is, considering what it was said he was asking for and what they were able to go out and sign Murray for –
that's a huge difference.
Murray's ability is a bigger percentage than what the contract was.
Yes.
You know, in other
yes.
words,
yes.
so
yes. Price for value.
Yeah. Yes. So is he Mark Ingram? Well, no, maybe not. But is he close enough, considering what the difference in the money was to go along with Kamara, and yeah, in my opinion, yeah.
And besides that, go ahead, Wesley.
Well, I was going to say, basically, they were trying to make us decide. I mean, it ended up being, I mean, we could have decided between Murray or Ingram for about the same price, but what they were giving us was like, okay, do we want Ingram or do we want Murray and PJ and Craig Robinson?
Yeah, right. Like, exactly.
And Banjo. Do we want those four guys or do we want Mark Ingram?
Yeah,
right. I think it's a no-brainer with what kind of – I mean, they tried to play a stupid game, and I can't believe – I mean, I figured that when it came out, I was like, okay, if Ingram was a part – was pissed about this, he's going to fire his agent pretty quick. But obviously, Ingram wants to go be a starter somewhere. That's great that he's been buddy-buddy with Kamara and all that stuff and saying that he wanted to stay. He wants to be a starting three-down running back somewhere. And I bet you 2 years from now, he's looking for another job. Like, there's no way Baltimore is going to keep playing him what a contract says in the third season.
No, I mean, he went to a team. There's been no more bigger running back by committee team over the last 5 to 6 years in Baltimore. I mean, they don't ever stick with one running back. Yeah. I'm not convinced he's going to be a three-down starting
fact that
back
they,
there.
Plus the fact that they have a starting quarterback and a backup quarterback that are running quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, they got Jackson, they got RG3. I mean, the reason they kept RG3 was because he fits into the same offensive scheme that Jackson fits into.
Yeah.
And so what's their basic scheme? Rollouts, you know, quarterbacks on the move. Ingram is not going to get the kind of touches he thinks he's going to get. And again, I heard an interview with Sean Payton where he kind of touched on the Ingram thing. Sean Payton was not happy at all with how the Ingram thing went down.
No.
To me, there's no doubt that's an agent issue. You know, and I have no doubt that what they were talking about he was asking for $7 million was exactly what he was asking for.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, his agent banked on the fact that thinking that Le'Veon Bell's contract was going to pull all of the, you know, it was going to be the mansion in the middle of the middle class neighborhood that was going to elevate all of the.
Exactly.
And all the values, and it just did.
Went
it did
the other
not,
way around.
You know,
yeah. So, I mean, I wish him the best of luck, but I don't think that Ingram is going to get the touches he thinks. I agree with you, Heath. Plus, I don't see him. It's not the same offensive line we have here.
No.
And so I don't see those holes. I don't see the sweeps. I'm sorry. I just don't see those things there for him. So, you know, good luck to him. And I agree with you. 2 years and he'll be on the road again looking for something else.
Yep.
And I don't think his next contract will be for $5 million.
No, I don't think so. No.
So that takes care of that part. But, you know, I think that we have some holes in some different places. So. I'd like to talk about a few of those.
All right.
And offense is where I figure we go with today. Next week, the next show, we can do defense.
All right.
So I picked four spots that I thought we could talk about. I eliminated quarterback because I don't think we need a quarterback at this point. And from this draft, I don't see anything worthwhile. You know.
I keep hearing a lot of talk about what school is it? I guess we scouted like half dozen players from the same school. Was it West Virginia?
West Virginia.
Yeah.
But we were there to scout, not the quarterback, even though people are high on that quarterback, you know. But
really, they spent a lot of time with him.
Yeah. Well, we hosted him, or we're going to host him.
Miller,
you know, blah,
I think is his name.
Right.
No, 30 visits, and they used one on a quarterback. Kind of makes me shake my, you know, wonder.
Isn't it Greer?
Is it Greer? Yeah, I think it is Greer. Yeah.
Will Greer.
Yeah,
Will Greer.
Yeah, okay, it was Will. Yeah, Will. Will Greer. That's it. I think they were there because there's an offensive lineman there who I really like, who I think would fit in with the Saints. And I think that's what the reason they were there. But, you know, remember, they went to a different school each day for that whole week. Right? They traveled that whole week, went to a different school every day that week. So, anyway, the four positions I thought we'd talk about. Tight end, running back, wide receiver, and offensive line.
All right.
And I thought, okay, we can kind of look at that and see what we think. If our first-round pick is the second round, you know, who among that class, would you agree that one of those four could possibly be our first pick in the second round?
Yeah. One more time. So you got tight end.
Tight end, wide receiver, offensive line, and running back.
I don't know about running back. I mean, I could say, you know, anything's possible. You never know. But if I
said, I don't think so.
I wouldn't think running back. We just invested a lot in a guy.
You know, not that much. That contract's not that big.
Well, no, we didn't. We didn't. Yeah, but I think, like you were just saying, that they're going to be looking, if they can, they really want to fill a spot of need with somebody that can contribute.
Okay, so on offense, I picked these four, but do you guys have another spot of need?
No, I think it's from one of those four. I don't think it's going to be from running back.
All right, well,
maybe the better way to put it is just the way I would characterize them. Or,
okay.
Categorize
so what would you
them?
Put first? What do you think is the most of those four
okay,
positions?
You're going to laugh at me, but now I'm like thinking maybe offensive line.
Okay.
Just, man, listen, we started the season. The reason we dominated the way we did was because that offensive line, the way it played.
Yes.
And
yeah. yes.
we started yes. getting banged up on the offensive line. That was the equalizer. And all of a sudden, the game started getting closer.
Yeah.
We started yep. struggling to move the ball and score points. And it went all the way through the playoffs.
Yeah. Yep.
So, to me,
yep. I agree.
If they'd had a guy in there that they could have popped in, you know, you got the Pete situation where he's, you know, he's going to be on basically a one-year deal. I don't think they're going to – the money he's going to command, as much as I've been down on him, there's teams in the league. There are not 32 starting left tackles in the league.
No.
And
no.
somebody will pay him to be a starting left tackle next
well, sure,
year.
Sure.
So, I think that you need to start looking to replace him. Do they need to do it in this year's draft? I don't know, but
well,
that was a situation with Bushrod. You know, we let Bushrod go because he's not good enough for left. He immediately signed up, became a guard, playing guard and sometimes tackle. He got a big contract, got a second contract, you know, and then he finally ended up back with the Saints. So
yeah,
you know, I think
okay. So let's go over what our offensive line situation is right now.
All right,
as far as what we already have. Sign. Bushrod's not coming back, right?
No, nope. He's okay. a free agent. So.
So he's a free agent, but he hasn't signed with anybody.
No.
So it's still possible.
Well, it's possible,
could,
yeah. But, I mean, as of right
like
now.
It. Doesn't look like it. The starters we have are Easton at center, who we just signed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we then have
Warford.
Warford at guard, Ram and Pete at guard.
Yeah.
Ram at right, And Armstead
for half
yeah.
a season.
So that's our five. That's our five. Well, all of them could yeah. be half a season. I mean, you don't know. You
well,
know,
that's
but, guaranteed
but that's the five that we start
yeah.
with. Okay.
Yeah.
Then for backups, you have Cameron Tom, mm-hmm. and you have Will Clapp.
Will Clapp.
All right, yeah. you're done.
I mean, to say you're done, but you only carry seven people on the roster, so, I mean, you know.
But, see, my problem is this. Yes, we have a lot of versatility there on the inside. We have a lot of guys who can play center guard. But we have no versatility for tackle
no,
with the exception
and you,
of Pete.
And you know, back
right.
to my jokes, you need
yeah.
one. I mean, it's
yeah.
not even a. It's not even an option.
Yep.
If
yep.
you don't have a left tackle, you might as well say, here we go. We went back to a 10-win team. You know, if we win 13 games again, Armstead goes out. Now you like a 10-win team. So you better have that backup left tackle.
Yeah,
right.
Or, you know, Pete moves out and somebody to fill in at guard.
Well, so the question is, with that second-round pick, what would be the position that would most likely to fit? Would you spend a second-round pick on a center?
Nope.
You know, under any circumstances, do you think?
No, I don't think so, because I think they really like Cameron Tom. I just think, you know, he's a second-year player, just finished his second year. I think they think.
Do you think they brought in this other kid to be the center, or do you think they brought him in to be a guard?
Easton?
Yeah.
See, this is the thing, because I think he can play center and guard.
He can play center and guard, but he's played more guard.
If Armstead were to get hurt, then you could shift everybody to the left. Pete would go to left tackle. Easton could go to guard, and then you bring in Cameron Tom to play center.
Yeah.
And I think that's a higher level of playing than we had last year and what we were trying to do.
Yeah.
You know? So
I don't know.
So
I mean,
that's why I think I don't know about Will Clapp. I mean, I know he's a hard working kid and everything, but I just don't know. I don't know that he can really play the guard position, you know. And he's not yet at that level that Cameron Tom is at center. So I don't know. Do you say, well, we want to keep seven? Will Will Clapp be put on the practice squad? It's a possibility.
Yeah, possible.
You know, because Cameron Tom was on there for quite a while.
I'm worried about the ones that are going to be on the game day roster. You know, so as far as it goes to the draft pick, I can't imagine this. I wouldn't think that they're going to spend that second round pick on an offensive lineman that isn't a tackle. Would you?
No, I think it has to be a tackle who might be able to play guard.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I would think. And to me, there's a kid that I like. I just don't know he'll be on the board or not. And that's Dalton Risner from Kansas State.
Yeah,
because he is a tackle who probably has a better fit as a guard, but he's a left tackle. So to me, that'd be a guy. He's got the size and got the arm length.
Yeah.
So to me, and I think he might still be there, simply because, you know, like every year, there's going to be a run on the quarterbacks. So in the first round, they'll be reaching. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So there'll be three or four quarterbacks picked that we don't expect, but you know, again,
yeah,
you know, the possibility's there. I think that a lot of people are enamored with some of these wide receivers. So I see a lot of wide receivers. And the list for defensive players. I mean, this year, there are a lot of edge players again. And teams love these edge players. So, to me, it could well be that some of these offensive linemen work their way down. At tackle, I'll give you a few names. I don't think they'll be there, but I'll give you a few names. Andre Dillard from Washington State, one of the top tackles. Juwan Taylor from Florida. He's going to be a first rounder. He'll be gone before we get there. Same thing, Cody Ford from Oklahoma. He'll be gone. And he plays both tackle and guard. The next down at the tackle position is Caleb McGarry from Washington. And then the kid I like, Dalton Risner from Kansas State. Then an interesting kid from Alabama State. Now, I just don't know if we want to spend a second rounder on him. But he's a big kid. He just went to a small school. His name is Titus Howard. I have a little asterisk by his name.
Yeah.
Mississippi State has Greg Little. Again, I think he'll be gone in the first round. And then from there, I think these other ones that are on my list here, you're talking about four, fifth, sixth round players. So I don't see anybody else on this list that I would say, oh, maybe so. The one kid, Max Sharping, another small school, Northern Illinois, big tackle.
Yeah.
So then it just depends. And again, scheme is going to be important because if you recall – many of the offensive linemen would say to you that we have to block one way when AK is running. We have to block a different way when
Ingram
is running.
Yeah.
So I think they just want to stick now with just zone blocking. I think that's what we want to see now for the entire offensive line, not changing back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you'll have to draft someone who fits that particular model for scheme for the offensive line.
Yeah. So I think, going into this, we talk about tight end. Cook signing kind of alleviates that a little bit as far as, offensive line is a big deal, especially with the loss of Unger, because I'm not sold on having a solution to replace Unger at the level that Unger – now, he wasn't playing that way the end of last year, certainly.
Right.
Maybe not even all year for Unger.
No, I don't think so. I think he started off feeling pretty good and doing okay. But I think by the middle of the season, it wasn't.
He was never the same again. And so, but if we're going to, because I believe that we're Super Bowl or bust mentality for this year coming up.
But then now, okay, so offensive line, apparently I finally convinced Dave that offensive line is a possibility with the first pick.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be angry or sad or depressed, if we pick an offensive line. Okay.
I didn't say all that.
Well, he's not a first rounder. Our first pick is a second rounder.
He's a second rounder, so you know.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to say this. You know Peyton.
Yes.
And, if there's a toy that's still available in the second round, it's going to be really hard for Sean Payton to sit there and go, that guy. So we come back. I go back to what position of receiver do we need? Slot. There are about five guys at wide receiver who play slot who are fairly well ranked.
Endowed? Oh.
No, they drink too much bottled water.
Yeah,
and so, we don't have that problem. Very small cups. So, in any case. if only the crowd knew what we were talking about. In any case, so we come back to wide receiver then.
Yeah.
Because there could be a guy on this list sitting there when our time comes up and he's on the list of best player available. Because what's going to happen is they're going to be like a half a dozen that are all pretty closely graded at best player available.
Yeah.
And if Sean says, linebacker, no, I don't think so. Safety? No, I don't think so. Wide receiver? Wide receiver? You see? So that was my thought of putting all these wide receivers on here. Now, I don't think Metcalf will be around. I don't think Marquise Brown will be around. Paris Campbell. I don't see any of these guys. A.J. Brown. No. Now, there's some people that think that Debo will be there. Debo Samuel from Clemson.
Debo.
Yeah. I don't know. The guy Harry from Arizona State. N'Keal Harry, I think that's how he pronounced his name. A lot of people also have us going with Riley Ridley from Georgia. Yeah. I hope not. But that's a lot of guys have that. I look at all these mock drafts.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I finished with number three, and I said, I'm not doing it anymore. The hell with it. You know? Yeah. So
to mock the second round. Like,
well, that's the problem is I had to do all the first round and almost all the second round to get to the Saints. And I was like, man, I'm tired of doing this. It's just too many possibilities.
Right.
So now there's a guy on here that I kind of like. Isabella from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
He plays slot. He doesn't drop a single ball. Now, again, he doesn't have the speed of this guy, Metcalf, who can, you know, run a 4-flat, you know, 40 or whatever.
Sounds
like
a white guy, huh?
He is.
Yeah, okay. So he's slow and catches the ball.
Andy Isabella. Like, not that slow. No, wait, hold on now. He ran like the third fastest 40.
Like 4.9?
No, like 4. No, like 4.4, you know, something. Yeah. I mean, a legitimate time.
Well, Debo only ran like a 4.56. His time wasn't that good.
He was faster than Debo. Huh.
So, but the thing about Debo is he has the quick, the 10 and 20 yard splits or whatever. Yeah,
right,
you know.
Right.
Perfect
the burst.
For a slot receiver.
Yeah. Right, the burst.
Quick open.
Right. Yep. Right. So there are a number of names on here that could possibly be on the board. And I'm just saying to you, if they're on the board, would Peyton pass on them and say, yeah, we need to get an offensive guard tackle guy?
I mean, listen, this is why I just have a hard time getting excited about this. You get in the second round, and the answer is whichever one has the most value because, look, we have needs, at least backup needs, at a lot of these positions. You need that offensive line. But I feel like we need some more explosive playmakers. So it just depends on how the Saints have
I don't think there's any doubt he would love to have another explosive – I mean, this is Sean Payton we're talking about.
Right.
But, you know – does he feel like he's going to be able to get some help from what's the receiver we signed in?
From Chicago.
He has it from Chicago.
Dang it.
Crap.
Meredith.
Meredith. Yeah. Or, you
Traquan
know.
Traquan Smith, who we drafted.
Is Traquan Smith going to take a step up? Is
I know Kirkwood
is. Your
is.
Buddy Kirkwood
is. There's no doubt is, about that.
But keep in mind, those guys, outside guys. Kirkwood,
they're all outside
slot,
guys.
A slot
yeah.
guy. Thing about it though, he's not the type that you're talking about. Quick twitch.
No, he's a big guy. He's another big guy.
He's really a two. He's not really a slot.
Right.
He's really a two.
But that's where he plays. So the point is that if Sean Payton sees a guy, it's not about Traquan. It could be about
Meredith.
No.
Kirkwood,
because he might say, "Look, I prefer a guy, even though Kirkwood seems to be progressing nicely. He's a good player." Hey, man, this guy right here is an instant difference maker.
Yeah.
So I can see him trying to improve that position with a guy who fits more your traditional role.
We know he really wants that. They tried to put Brandon Cook, whatever one we had.
Yeah,
Tommy Lee. You know, another guy kind of you think is in that mold, right? He's the little quick guy, and he, you know.
I hope Gary's happy with him in Detroit.
Yeah. I actually talked to Gary. If Sean Payton was going to pull that kind of a move, I think that's where he's going. You know, it's going to be that kind of a guy. If he feels like Debo or one of those types can really come in and make a difference from that slot position, well, then sure. I think he'd be – salivating. But the thing is, I don't really know what mindset Sean Payton or the Saints are in. I don't know whether they're looking at this like, we got to get this done this year, that's it, or you know.
Well,
the perception is that that's
so.
What they're thinking.
At some point, I just don't see it yet, but at some point, Drew's going to have to hang it up. I mean, there's just no.
Not a question more to have to do with Drew is, what is Sean Payton thinking for his future with the Saints?
Well,
you know, Sean Payton's already past that point now where historically coaches don't do anything again.
Right.
With the same team.
Yeah.
Tenure. The,
he's 13 now.
Yeah, he's 13, so he's past all of that.
Yeah. But he, again, I was listening to an interview that they were doing with him, and it was funny because they, I want to say it was Hebert who asked him
about the Dallas
rumor thing. And he started laughing. He goes, man, I've got Florida Lee tattoos. I can't get rid of them.
Yeah.
And I really think, I mean, let's be honest. Sean Payton has a sweetheart deal with the Saints because he answers to nobody. You know,
basically,
he does what he does what he wants to do. You know, the GM is not going to overrule him, really. You know, so at this point, If he goes to Dallas, there's no way Jerry Jones is going to let him do anything.
Yeah.
Okay. And pretty much any other team he goes to, it's going to be the same thing. He's going to have to be part of the hierarchy, you know, where he's got to be part of the chain of command, not the main link in the chain of command.
Yeah.
So I don't see him going anywhere. It's just that at some point, and I don't think it's this year because we have a second round, but I don't know if they're willing. It seems that they believe that
Teddy
would be the quarterback of the future. I'm not sold on Teddy being the quarterback of the future myself.
No, me neither. I'm not sure that Sean Payton is either.
No, so I'm thinking when we have a first, second, and third round draft choice again, I'm thinking at that point they'll start looking and say, you know, is there a quality quarterback in the draft? Remember, he really wanted Mahomes in a bad way.
Oh, yeah.
And the only reason he didn't get him was because at the last minute, Kansas City traded up one spot in front of us to get him.
Yeah.
Sure.
But he would have – if Kansas City wouldn't have done that, he would have picked Mahomes.
That
There's no
the
doubt.
Yeah.
You know?
But let me say, too, about Teddy. All this talk about the heir apparent and look, the Saints need a good quarterback or a serviceable quarterback. The Saints have a good team. Drew Brees is a very important part of it. The Saints have a good team. It'd be a shame to waste that team on a quarterback that can't play. So they have a guy that I believe they at least feel is serviceable and maybe has a chance to be pretty good. So
is he
I'm
a Mahomes?
Looking at it that way. No, 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 and that's not my point. I'm just simply saying for I guess we did give up a third-round draft pick. At minimum, they have a bridge quarterback, a Bridgewater quarterback, right? But they have a guy that, okay, they can go out and he can breeze takes off after next year, retires, whatever. They have a quarterback that can be a good transitional quarterback, and maybe he does become a good quarterback. Or maybe he's just serviceable. The Saints win 10 games. They find a way to, you know, move up in the draft and get a guy that they feel is the next Mahomes or somebody like that. So my point is I don't think about Teddy Bridgewater as being the heir apparent. He's the next starter. They pay good money to be able to secure their future with a solid quarterback going forward. That's the way I look at it.
No, I think that's right. You know, I think that's right.
So I don't think this is he's got to be the next guy or it's a failure. I think it's, hey, we all like Taysom Hill, but it's pretty obvious he's not ready to be a starting quarterback. So that's how I just don't think I look at it like, oh, man, Teddy Bridgewater, we making a mistake by keeping him. I mean, you
I didn't say that.
Well, I'm sorry. It's not just you. It's the things I see. If I feel like he's very polarizing. He's either – I don't like him or I do like him. I'm like, look at it like, hey, he's better than he's a good transitional quarterback who potentially might be better than that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that.
Wesley?
If you assume that every team in the NFL has a starting caliber quarterback, so you just take the quarterbacks out, we have what's probably the most talented roster in the NFL without the quarterback. When you add Drew Brees in there, that puts us in another level, but then you got to factor in that he's 40, 41 years old. And so I think that it's extremely important to have somebody who can step in for one or two games or three games if something happens. But I think that, I mean, with what the assumption is that, I mean, a lot of people think that Teddy Bridgewater was at one time a starting caliber quarterback and could be there again. Even with him, we might have the best roster in football. I mean, if you penciled him in as our starter, I mean, obviously Drew Brees, I think, just puts it on another level. But taking out the quarterback, we've got an extremely talented team with an offense that can just – I think it's going to be really difficult for defenses to deal with. And I think it's important to have the most expensive backup quarterback in the NFL probably. I think that's we're one of the few times where we have a team that it makes sense for us to have the most expensive backup in the NFL.
Well done.
Well, that's if you believe that Teddy Bridgewater is that level of quarterback. Because, again, remember that what has he done?
Well, I agree with Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis that he is.
Yeah, okay. And that's fine. My only thing was to say that if next year comes around and we're like, okay, we have a different – this year we only have a two and then we're way down the list. So there's no way we have anything available, and I don't really particularly care for all the quarterbacks that are in this year's draft necessarily. But maybe next year or the year after, we're in a different position and we do see a real quarterback that Peyton says, oh, yeah, this guy. It wouldn't surprise me if we pick with our first-round pick a quarterback either next year or the year after. It wouldn't surprise me at all because I don't necessarily think that You know, I agree with Dave. He's a serviceable quarterback, perhaps. But I think a lot of people are putting a lot more on Teddy Bridgewater than is really there. Simply because it's been a while since he actually led a team and did something.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you're banking on the fact that 3 years ago, you know, he did something.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, I was not sold on him at Minnesota, but I know he also ran for his life a lot in Minnesota.
Yeah.
He played behind, I mean, it's hard to even call it an offensive line. I mean, you know, I don't know. I would say we hope, you know, at least Sean Payton sees him in practice every day and blah, blah, blah. But we've had this discussion before that outside of Drew Brees here with the Saints and possibly his eye for Mahomes.
Yep.
His track record with quarterbacks here is not too good. You know what I mean? Garrett Grayson or whatever the hell. I mean, to think of some of the guys that have come through here, you know, not too good. So, yeah.
Although the kid from Tulane is still playing at Tampa, he signed a new contract.
I know, but then if, so, you know, then he should be here. Then you know what I mean.
Well, I think he probably should have stayed here. I don't think he
well,
probably
he maybe
gone
should
away.
Have. Maybe but, he's maybe he's been coached up since he's
well,
been in Tampa.
It could be too. Could be too. You know. So and of course now Tampa's got a real quarterback coach, isn't that right, Wesley?
I suppose.
No, you know that the fellow who was at Arizona brought God, I can't think of his name now, the quarterback.
Byron Leftwich.
Leftwich, right. Yeah. That's the quarterback coach, and that's what I'm thinking. Oh, yeah, he'll coach him up, you know.
Well,
yeah.
Well, don't forget, if we don't have a high draft pick next year, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, and Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston are all unrestricted free agents.
The geriatric crew.
By the way, another unrestricted free agent to add to that list will be Chase Daniel next year.
Oh, wow. See, there's the play right there. We
yeah,
just sent him
right
off
there.
To, yeah.
He'll sign another. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
We'll sign him for $20 million a year.
You know, that guy, I mean, he should be like playing a lottery. You know, I mean, seriously.
Eli Manning.
So anyway, like I said, I think that there's a possibility of wide receiver. Now, let's go one more, if we might, because we all were worried about the tight end position. And although, you're going to check and see how much time I have left?
Keep going, man.
All right. Although we were talking about the tight end position, and we feel that we signed somebody that's going to, you know, take us there for a little while, there are some really interesting tight ends that will be available, not just in the second round, but probably some developmental guys in the fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds.
Yeah. When do we pick again after the second round?
Fifth.
Two fives.
Oh, so here, okay, we talking all this about the, you know, with our number two pick and all. What does everybody here think the chances are that the Saints don't sit pat with that number two pick that we got right now? Between the rest of the picks we got late in this draft, a possible pick or two from next year, what do you think the chances are that the Saints don't make some kind of move in this draft? I'm going to say the odds are at least 70% that the Saints make some kind of a move.
I might be the only guy who will say that it wouldn't surprise me if the Saints, when they get to their second pick, if they don't make any moves and they stay with their second
trade pick, down, is that what you're getting ready to say?
No.
I think it could be the first time in Sean Payton.
I say that every year.
I was about to say we've been saying this for 13 years now. Maybe the Saints will trade back.
There's a 90% chance the Saints they end up drafting two players before the fifth round.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I'm just putting it out there.
You got to look at it too. The expectation anybody trading with the Saints is that first round draft pick
is really a second.
It's going to be late next year. You know, look, you got to figure at least 25 or lower. I guess.
So
what are you going to? I mean, what are you going
to
get?
So smart teams ask us to trade a 2021 pick.
Right. After smart money's on that 21 pick.
They're going to be sitting there going, hey, Drew Brees will be – they got Teddy Bridgewater. This will be a high pick.
Yeah,
trade of 2021, we might get a number one.
I hear Jacksonville might trade us like a 2023 pick, man.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't – I'm telling you the truth. It wouldn't surprise me if we got to the second pick, if they didn't do anything before that, because we just don't have the ammunition, you know? I don't care if you're thinking about next year. Again, you're saying if they're all in for this year – and let's say we're in the Super Bowl. Well, that means we're either 31 or 32 pick. So, you know, that's basically a high second round. It's not really a legitimate, quote-unquote, first rounder at that point.
Yeah.
You know, so, so who's going to say, well, we'll trade you our number one next year. And they go, yeah, and what else? I mean, we don't have that kind of leverage, in my opinion. So to me, it wouldn't be surprising if they get to the second round and they say, there's really nobody on the board that we feel price for value is there. And if somebody says, well, we'll trade you, we'll take your second and we'll give you our second and our third or something. If they just move down a little bit in the second round, it wouldn't. Well,
I actually think I think Wesley's scenario is probably more likely that they make a second, not for the second round pick to move, but the move to come from the fifth round up again into the third or something.
But that means, well, we have no fourth. We have 2 5s.
No, you got picks next year and the year after that.
You're going to have to go to
They can't sit still, though. It's impossible. Not having ammunition, y'all remember 6 weeks ago when I wanted us to re-sign Lutz and sign Jared Cook, but we didn't have ammunition or free or cap space?
I don't remember
that. We'll figure out something.
Well, I know Mickey Loomis is the man with the numbers, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't have restrictions with numbers of the cap or of draft picks.
If only Anthony Davis respected that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Respect that. So, earlier.
Yes?
Before the show started.
I've been waiting to see when you're going to bring this in.
So, he is a wealth of knowledge about things that are just like. So, we're talking about how did it start? Oh, yeah, Tomas was talking about diddling 13-year-olds and how they look. Yeah, that's how.
I mentioned to you that 13-year-olds don't look like 13-year-olds.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. But you said as long as
whatever you
consent,
did in Thailand is whatever you did in Thailand.
As long as you get a consent form from their parent if you're in West Virginia.
Because you asked me the age of consent. That's why. Right. And I told you 16 in Kentucky.
But he knew the rule. He knew the rules about parental permission for 13 in other states and all. That's the scary part.
So, and then Dave said, "Sometimes no means go down on me first."
Only if you have the proper bottle of water beforehand.
So then Heath points out, starts talking, and we've talked about this before.
We've talked about it before, yeah.
So the water, like, I don't know. I'm sure some people do, but other people, even at my age, I was amazed to find out the water that's in the tap. You know, I just thought that came from, like, the reservoir or the lake around, something like that. Or
can
just,
we say dee-dee-dee?
Yeah.
So they... It's filtered from...
It came from the reservoir in your bathroom.
Right. It literally comes from the toilet, and it filters it all out. You're going to have to take this over. I'm just throwing you the softball, Heath. And then what happens is, like, for instance, everything is filtered out, but the one thing that the filters can't filter out is the estrogen.
So we are talking about the feminization of man.
That's right.
Is what we're talking about.
Right.
And basically, and we as men are under assault from every area. It's the stuff they spraying on the food. It's the stuff we drinking in the water.
Because that's how the conversation started.
That's how the conversation started.
Because Dave said he couldn't lose weight, because even if he's eating a healthy diet.
Right.
Because
it's the crap that's in the food, yes.
Yeah.
And so we are being bombarded with estrogen-like substances that act like estrogen in our body, and it's driving the testosterone levels down. Every year, they get lower and lower and lower.
That's why if you listen to Dave from the first time we did the webcast of today, you can hear this voice has gotten a little higher.
Well, okay. What I like about this is super.
And he's got less space to sit on that bicycle seat.
What the thing about it is, he always comes up with the extra tidbit of information. So he says the distance between... Your
anus.
The distance between the anus and the base of your scrotum.
It's gotten smaller.
It's getting smaller on men because it is a testosterone dependent.
I think he hung up on us.
Heath, if you were a city planner, would you put a playground next to a sewer system?
Yeah. Land is cheap. No, I'm just
kidding. Land's cheap.
But no, seriously, the bottom line is it's legitimate. We are becoming we're becoming women. Men are becoming women.
That's crazy. What? Come on, man.
They're becoming infertile. We're becoming,
talking about the plastic bottles. So you think just drink out of the plastic bottles, which is basically just somebody else's.
Well, first is the problem is the bottle, right? They picked on, BPA, okay. People worried about the plastic, so we get rid of BPA. Problem is plastic bottles have BPC, BPH, BPF. It's all the same stuff with a different letter attached to it. So the bottle itself is still as big of a problem
as
it was.
What does the bottle do? You didn't explain that.
It's the plastic, the chemicals in the plastic act like estrogen in your body.
Yeah, and they bleed into the liquid.
So you think you're doing better by, if you drink tap water, you're basically drinking
filtered
sewer water.
Yeah, so.
That doesn't filter out the estrogen.
Right, because.
Or you switch to the plastic. And the plastic. Right.
When they filter the sewer water, it does not take out birth control that women are peeing out into the toilet, into the sewage system. So you're drinking, all of us are drinking low dose birth control pills.
I just thought I was more sensitive than I was when I was younger.
You are more sensitive than you are when you were younger.
Now you know why.
Now you know why you're crying at the Massengill commercials.
There you go. And you see, now you know why, for example, wine is sold in a glass bottle. Why good olive oil is sold in a glass bottle. Because this kind of a bottle.
So Wesley's showing his little bottle of testosterone. So
Gotta have it.
You know what the most estrogenic food is? Natural thing, right? We're talking about man-made stuff and all. Well, dairy, yeah, but that's because they got hormones and all that are going through the cow. Yeah.
Moo, 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 buckaroo.
Hops. So if you like beer, and in particular you like IPA...
Which I don't like.
Yeah. If you haven't noticed, you went out, go out at night and drink a bunch of IPAs, and then you can't take care of business with the old lady when you get done, now you know why. Because the beer is turning you into a goddamn woman.
And you know that people who work in breweries who handle hops all the time, they begin to grow breasts.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah, they get gynecomastia.
I'm not kidding you. I'm telling you the
truth. It's called gynecomastia. It's man boobs.
Yeah.
But it's not fat man boobs.
No,
it's actual like breast tissue man boobs.
So if you
because
really didn't know how intelligent, I mean, we already know because he tells us how intelligent that Tomas is. But sometimes he sits over there and you don't realize it. But this dude is well studied.
Yeah, I am full of useless knowledge that adds up to absolutely nothing in my life.
He knows about breast tissue and butthole placement.
Exactly.
Our next show, we're going to talk about.
With that in mind, on our next show.
Coming up next week.
Is this called a teaser name?
Heath is going to talk about women and their whole structure of relationships and how it's deteriorated.
Yeah.
That's a whole show. We're going to have a 2-hour
hypergamy, gentlemen. Go read The Red Pill. The Rational Male by Rollo Tomasi. Read it next week. There's going to be a quiz.
There's going to be a quiz. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, you just never know, you know. But anyway, there's some interesting topics for discussion this evening. So I think next week, giving a tease, our next show, not only will we have a learned discussion by Heath, but we'll also talk about the defensive part of our team.
Oh, yeah, that.
Okay.
When's the draft?
Dude, April 26th, 7th, 8th.
Okay, so we're going to have to talk about that. That'll be by the time we have a show.
25th.
25, 6.
Is it Thursday, the 25th? It's first day, right?
Yeah.
Thursday. All right.
You sure? I thought Saturday was our first pick, which is the second and third rounds.
And that's the
27th.
I thought the first round was always on Thursday.
But it is.
Could be wrong.
The first round is on Thursday. The second round is on. Is it the second and third round? Oh, hell, I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, well, I must have it wrong because I thought it was the 26-27. But maybe you're right. Maybe it's 25-26-27. But. Anyway, yeah.
25th through 27th.
There you go. So we'll be doing a show that week of the draft. Will be our next show. No, I'm sorry. No, we won't be doing it. The next show is after the draft.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Unless Dave decides to have a show.
A
draft special, you know.
And the way men and women interact in the dating process.
Well, because we haven't talked about the defense, I guess we're not going to talk about defense. I guess we're not going to draft any defensive players.
Probably not.
I think we are. okay.
All right. Bring it on home, baby.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I'm just saying. I think that, as I said earlier, I stopped doing my draft prognostication because it's a pain in the behind to go all the way through the second round. But truthfully, I did all the research on all the players. I have my top 100, and I think that if the best player available in, let's say, for example, the fifth round when we have two picks, if we don't trade anything, we don't move anything, there are some safeties and linebackers that will be on the board that I think are quality players that the Saints will probably look at. I think safety and linebacker might be, you know, our starters are great, you know, but it's a question of the
depth. Are they?
I think our linebackers.
I agree with you on linebackers.
Yeah, I think our linebackers are quality starting linebackers.
I don't know that we got great starting safety.
And I think by signing Robertson, I think that we have a good depth number there. But safety, I think, can be a question. Yeah. You know? Although.
Well, I have questions about Marcus Williams as far as a starter is concerned, but without Coleman and Vaccaro, who he replaced before him, where is the depth? You know, Banjo, is that your depth? I like Banjo, and I'm glad we re-signed him, but special teams.
No.
I don't like Banjo as a safety.
No.
You know, that plays
any
significant amount.
That's what you're looking
at.
I mean.
Right now, yeah.
You know, and that's why I say I think that there may be a – and, of course, you know, I don't know who my undrafted free agent is going to be for this year. You know, so it could well be a safety, maybe. And you just never
could
know.
Be.
You know, but I think that there will be some need at linebacker and safety, and I think that we may fill that up in the later picks if we still have those later picks.
Yeah.
So that's going to be something to look at. So when the Saints have their draft, I guess we'll know. We'll be tweeting it out. By the way, Dave, what's your Twitter handle there?
SaintsBS.
SaintsBS. And yours, Heath?
I got
nothing.
Got nothing BS.
Got nothing BS. All right, I'm Tomas 19. I think is what mine is. Right,
Wesley.
Who that? That's Wesley's.
I think it's Wesley Who That 13.
Yeah, something like that. All right, so there you go.
something like that.
Something.
But anyway, we expect everyone who listens to the podcast to drop us a note on Twitter. We're all answering whatever gets sent to us. Did you know that there's a guy who's doing a podcast right now who's a wrestler? I was thinking about Little Dice.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they advertise this guy all the time. Every time when I'm at the gym in the morning listening to stuff, Taz or something like that, he's a wrestler.
Huh.
And I was like, okay, I don't know who this guy is, but he's always being advertised like on WWO.
No, I don't know.
So, but anyway, just, you know, because I know Little Dice will drop us a note here and there. Craig dropped us a note.
Yeah.
Well, he's worried about you.
Yeah.
You know, so.
He was getting worried about me.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. So anyway, so we're always available on Twitter, and you know, pass around to your friends that we have this podcast going on because we like people to listen to us. And once the draft gets done, I guess we'll get going towards the OTAs, and we'll probably start doing a show every week at some point around there because we'll have the required mini camps will be coming up as well. And so the season will be upon us before you know it.
Before you know it.
Yeah, the dead time looks to see me going away now.
Yep.
So Dave has to, you know, pick it up a little bit.
Buck it up.
Buck it up. That's right. So there you have it. Well, I guess, gentlemen, then we finished in our discussion for today, unless there's something else. You got anything else there, Dave?
No, I'm good, man.
You're good? You going to be drinking some of that bottled water when we leave?
No.
Okay.
I'm just going straight to the toilet.
Yeah.
Here, you skip the bottle
water. Save myself 75 cents.
There you go. You just go right to it, just like a dog, right?
I'll have a bottle of water and an IPA, please.
There you go. Wesley, anything else, my friend?
Who dat?
That's it? Okay, well, who dat? Heath, anything else?
I got nothing.
All right, so I guess we're done. So, another great show, I believe.
Yeah.
So, for Wesley, Heath, Dave, and yours truly.
Truly.
Thank you for listening in. And we look forward to talking to you again real soon. Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Oh, hey, Ethan, did you hear that Dave, Tomas, and Heath have a new podcast out this week?
No way. That's really cool. We should write a song for it.
And beer is the show. BS and beer is the show. To find out what Dave, Tomas, and Heath really know. Gotta love that podcast show. Gotta love that podcast show.
Place for Saints football news. How convenient. Thanks, Dave.